What happens when you know God and mess up anyway? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Ann Lay.
In this show, you will hear from Beverly Banks, who loved God in her youthful days. But she felt far away from God when she ended up in a divorce.
You know, I think that when we do things and we mess up, and I can relate to that, like when I would blow it, like get mad at you or something when we first got married, I used to have this kind of attitude of it's all or none. Well, yeah. I've just blown it. Might as well just throw it all out. It's just everything's ruined. Let me just tarnish everything, you know, and sabotage it all. And I've met people who are like that. And I think that it comes with maturity where that changes and you realize that that relationship is still there, that God still loves you even when you blow it and not to make it worse. When you recognize, you know, that you've done wrong, do something about it.
Yeah, I think that's very important. And there is that peace that's, you know, says, well, I've sinned, so I'm going to willfully sin. And the Bible actually warns against that. Mm-hmm. That is not a good thing to do. So if you're ever like, you know what? I've already messed up anyways, might as well just blow it. That isn't good. It's a very bad idea.
Yeah, don't listen. Don't take it from me when I would do it at that time.
But what I am saying is what is neat, like what you were talking about the second time, where there are times where you blow it. You're a Christian. You love God. And you mess up. And the Bible talks about that, about, you know, our war is living a Christian life, trying to live a holy life, but by the power of God, but there's times where we fall into maybe temptation or wherever it may be. Like, look at Samson, look at David. And when I say that, these are people in the Bible who loved God, but they messed up. And there's a time when they messed up. And when they messed up, they turned away from it. They repented from it. You know what I mean? And it didn't mean that God would no longer be close to them, but there were consequences. There were not good consequences, you know what I mean? And so God will allow consequences. When we mess up, there are consequences, but God is there to be with us and to be for us when we mess up and we feel far away. So we shouldn't feel far away. That's a lie from the devil. God is near when we mess up, just like my children. When they mess up, I don't like, I shun you, you know? I'm not like that. I'm like, oh, Daddy is going to be there to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, and I think there's a difference too of intentional, willingly going out and doing something wrong and saying, ah, who cares, versus unintentional or situational where you go through something and it's like her situation, she didn't even really want to go through that. Yeah. And a lot of people listening probably have been through that. But I like what you said. It's about recognizing the situation and then repenting and saying, God, help me in this, calling out to him in the situation instead of running from him.
Well, you know, we can look at in the Bible where Peter, he denies Christ three times. But then in the end, Jesus reveals himself again and Peter runs at Jesus and their relationship is that much stronger.
And he can restore your relationship if you've blown it. Let's hear from Beverly Banks after the break.
Colorado Christian University College of Adult and Graduate Studies presents Hope Fest 2017, Saturday, June 10th at Centennial Park Amphitheater. Tickets are just $39 and are on sale at www.thehopefest.com. Less than 5,000 tickets are available, so get them while you can. One day, one stage, 10 huge bands, and 5,000 of your closest friends. Hope Fest 2017.
Did you know that we have a way for you to win free tickets to Hope Fest? This week, we're giving away two free tickets to one lucky winner. Call us to enter to win the drawing. Our number is 877-480-4477. That's 877-480-4477. We'll be speaking at Hope Fest, and we'd love to meet you at our Real Life Radio Show booth. Hope to see you there. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Light, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Light.
Hello, everyone.
We are having with us on our show Beverly Banks, and she's going to share with us how she knew the Lord growing up. It was nothing that her parents taught her. She just had the sense that there's a God, that Jesus is real. And the first time she entered in a church is at 19, and we're going to find out more about that. So let's welcome to the show Beverly. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate, you know, everything that you and your husband are doing. I think it's fantastic.
Awesome. Well, awesome, we appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for what God is doing in your life. I'm excited to find out about how you grew up and how things changed as you ended up going into a church. You went into this whole new world. Tell me about your upbringing and then when you were 19.
Well, what was so interesting is that I did not grow up in a Christian household. So my parents weren't exactly anti-Christian, but they definitely weren't pro-Christian. So, you know, we never went to church. We never did devotionals. We didn't do any of that. I had no idea that those things even really existed. And so I just kind of had this hunger and knew that Jesus was there in an unexplainable way. I would not be able to tell you why. Maybe it's the culture, who knows? But I just always kind of had this heart that really wanted to know more about the Lord. And so I nagged my mom. And when I was about 8 or so, she actually went out and decided that she was going to buy me a Bible. So she's like, well, religion's not really bad, but if it's going to keep you on the straight and narrow, sure, why not? So she went out and she bought me a King James Bible, which was very thick in language for an 8-year-old. And I was so devoted. But what that meant was, is that I grew up in a faith that was separate from church. And there wasn't any rules or dogma or anything else attached to it. It was me and the Lord and my Bible and my little 8-year-old understanding trying to figure out what it means. And so when I was 19, I was listening to a program on the radio and it hit me that maybe this is the stuff that they teach at church. Now, my family was an anti-Christian, but my father, the only thing he'd ever told me about church is that the only people who are in it are the people who did bad things during the week. They would have to go to church to like get cleansed or whatever. And then they would run around for the rest of the week doing whatever they wanted to. Wow. And so I was never really drawn to the church. And it struck me, wow, maybe this is what they actually teach in church. And so I showed up to the only church that I really had seen in the area. And it was this gigantic mega church. Oh. And it blew me away. And at this point in my life, I was actually a professional ballroom dancer. And so, you know, I had a career, I had a lot of focus, I had a lot of ambitions. I really had a lot going for me. I was very independent. And so when I showed up at church, somebody invited me to the youth group. It was probably the worst thing I think I had ever seen in my life.
Oh, no.
Because there was this stigma that if you were 20 and you were dating or you didn't know somebody that you were going to marry, that you were somehow going to become this old hag. And I got this new idea in my head. And that new idea was, you know, as a woman, your ambition needed to be your husband's ambition. You didn't really have your own, and you shouldn't really know what you wanted to be when you grew up until after you met your husband, because your job was to serve him. And so I had this heart for the Lord, and I really wanted to make him happy. So I kind of jumped at that 110%. I retired from ballroom dancing and I got married and I gave up all of these ambitions because I was really convinced that your job at that point is to serve your husband's vision. And it took me years to kind of sort out the two. What do you do when you are a strong, independent woman with a heart for God, but your vision isn't halting for when you find a husband?
Right.
Well, with such a big change in your life, how did the marriage go?
The marriage did not go well. And, you know, the reason why is that I had totally checked my brain at the door. You know, I had such a heart to want to run after God. And if this idea was going to please God, then that's what I wanted to do 110%. But what I wasn't aware of is because I had grown up separate from the church, I didn't have these strong women mentors around me. And so I just wasn't really sure what to do next. And we ended up divorcing. And to me, it just broke broke my heart because, again, I had read in the scripture that God hates divorce. And there's nothing in the scripture that says that he likes it or that it's a good idea or that it makes them happy. And I was just really grieved. And I was really struggling back and forth with if the blessings of the Bible even applied to me. Mm. You know, through my actions, did I actually separate myself from the blessing of the Lord because I had grieved his heart and I didn't know what to do with that? Wow. And so what was interesting was, is through a set of circumstances, you know, I'm actually a filmmaker and we decided to do a documentary called The Tithe Project. And as I was going through this process researching, I actually got inspired to tithe. And when I wrote that very first check, I was not sure if I would actually be blessed by it because I was a divorced woman who had grieved the heart of God. I didn't know if that would apply to me anymore. And so I wrote my first check and I gave it to the church and I kind of walked away not knowing what to expect. And the Lord was so faithful. And I started to see the blessing come from tithing, which was great, but I started to feel the healing in my own heart because I have ambition. I am a businesswoman. That's who he created me to be. And so for all of the businesswomen out there and for all of the married women who have that in them, you know, if you read through the scriptures, the Bible has strong women who have strong husbands who actually do this life together. And it has nothing to do with checking your brain at the door. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of healing that the Lord has for women like myself who didn't get it and ended up divorced. Or maybe you're married and you're like, I don't know what to do now. The Lord has a place for all of us. He loves all of us, especially women, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like he has a special place in his heart for us. He calls wisdom a woman, and there's a reason for that.
I like that. Did Amen. You hear that, honey?
Amen.
But, you know, there are people listening right now, and they feel like God can't bless them or doesn't love them because they've blown it. And we're going to pray for those people. And what I love about your story is that though you knew God and you feel like you blew it, he was right there with you and he brought healing and restoration to your life. And we're going to pray for those who need that right now. Thank you so much for being with us, Beverly. God bless you.
Thank you.
Sometimes we can come to a time in our life when we feel like we're beyond the blessings of God, where we feel like we've made decisions or mistakes, where we've come to the point where we're saying, maybe God has forsaken me. But I'm here to share some good news with you and that God has not forsaken you. And that this is a God of second chances. And he's a God of forgiveness and a God who's saying, get back up and we're going to walk this life out through again. I sense that this word is for someone who's out there who's saying, I've messed up. I'm beyond the grace of God. Nonsense, my friend. God's grace is for you. So Father, we just pray right now for those who felt like they can't be forgiven. Jesus, we receive that forgiveness right now. We receive that forgiveness so that we can realize we can be blessed by you right now in this time, in this place. So Jesus, we receive that. We believe that in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.